2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Now David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" He said, "At your service." Then his king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabir." Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabir. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." David says that he wants to show kindness for Jonathan's sake. The word for kindness is also translated goodness, mercy, favor, loving kindness. It is the Old Testament equivalent to the New Testament word grace. Grace is often defined as the unmerited love and favor of God toward the undeserving. Grace is one person accepting another in a positive manner in spite of the unworthiness of the person being accepted. You notice in our text, three times it's mentioned, show him kindness, show the kindness of God. Surely showing kindness to Jonathan. David desires to extend grace to a member of Saul's family. This is amazing in light of the fact that in those days, when a new king came to power, he usually destroyed every member of the former king's household in an effort to prevent any rebellion by that family. David had the right to execute judgment, but he chose to demonstrate grace instead. David did this not because the house of Saul deserved it, but because of his relationship with Jonathan and because of two promises that he had made years earlier. David had promised both Jonathan and Saul that he would not totally destroy their offspring. We'll see the promise to Jonathan in 1 Samuel 20, verses 13 through 17. "May the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I will report it to you and send you away, that you may go in safety, and the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. And you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies." Now Jonathan again caused David to vow, because he loved him. For he loved them as he loved his own soul. The promise of David to Jonathan. And in 1 Samuel 24:20-22, you see David making a similar promise to Saul. So, this grace is extended because of another. Because of another. No wonder grace is called amazing. God extends his grace to the members of Adam's family. We don't deserve his grace. We don't deserve his love. We don't deserve his mercy. In fact, if we received what we did deserve, we would receive judgment, damnation, and hell. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We don't want to get what we deserve. If we got what we deserved, we would be in serious trouble. Yet God extends his amazing grace to us because of another. Because of another, even as we just read in the story of Jonathan and David. Mercy is extended to Mephibosheth because of the promise that David made to Jonathan. Amazing grace because of another. He reaches out, God, to fallen sinners because he loves his son and because Jesus died for us on the cross. The Father reaches out to us because of what another has done. He has made a promise to another. Neither you or I have anything to merit us to God, but because of Christ, we can experience God's amazing grace. Ephesians 4:32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. See, because of what Christ has done, because of the actions of another. Mephibosheth in the text is blessed because of what Jonathan had done for David. The blessing because of another. 1 John 2:12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. See, because of Christ. Grace extended to you because of another. That's why it's called amazing grace. It's not deserved by you. It was given because of another. When David decides to extend grace, he does so without limits. Turn back to our text in 2 Samuel. He's looking for any that is left in the house of Saul. Now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Because of Jonathan, David is going to show grace to the house of Saul. The blessing because of another. Anyone left of the house of Saul. The house of Saul was the house of his predecessor and his bitter enemy, Saul. But it didn't matter. David placed no limits on his grace. He was willing to extend it to any member of the house of Saul. The key word in that first verse is any. David wasn't looking for people who met a certain criteria, but anyone who was of the family of Saul was a candidate for grace. Thank God our Lord's amazing grace knows no boundaries. It extends to all men and women, regardless of their past, regardless of their race, regardless of their social standing or their deeds. God doesn't reach out to save the righteous, but the sinner. He came to save those that were sick. God extends his grace to whosoever will. Look at Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. The grace of Almighty God. Is there anyone of the family of Saul? Anyone from the family of Adam that is hearing this word go forth today? Whosoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. The call still goes out today. The clarion call goes out to all the world today, to whoever would hear this word today. David is a beautiful picture of God showing kindness to a lost and dying race, to Adam's race. Grace is extended to all who will. That's how you and I got in. And friend, if you're lost, that's how you'll get in as well. You see, no one deserves it, but all can have it if you will simply come. This is what makes grace so amazing. Let me tell you the story of Mel Trotter. He was an alcoholic. Again and again, he promised his wife he'd give up drink for good. Once he managed to stay dry for 11 and a half weeks. But at the end, his addiction overcame him. He squandered his house to pay for drinks. He reached the point that he committed burglary to feed his habit. His wife and child suffered terribly for his sin. They had had only one child. The boy was about 2 years old when Mel came home after a little drinking spree. He says he went home after a 10-day drunk and he found his son dead in the mother's arms. I'll never forget that day. I was a slave and I knew it. It pretty nearly broke my heart. I said, I'm a murderer. I'm anything but a man. I can't stand it and I won't stand it. I'll end my life. But he didn't have the courage to do it because he feared God's judgment. He put his arms around his wife and swore on the baby's coffin that he'd never touch another drop. 2 hours after the funeral, he staggered home blind drunk. On this day, January 19th, 1897, Mel Trotter made the decision to kill himself. He staggered drunk through Chicago, determined to throw himself into the freezing waters of Lake Michigan. Unable to break his habit, unable to keep his promises, he wanted to die. His progress brought him past the door of the Pacific Garden Mission. Harry Monroe, who himself had been an alcoholic, was leading, singing. As the doorman helped Mel in, Monroe stopped to pray for Mel. Oh God, save that poor boy, he pleaded. Monroe told the audience of his own past and how Christ had delivered him from alcohol. Mel listened and believed. That night, he answered Monroe's invitation to make room for God in his life. Monroe explained that Jesus loved him and that he would change him. And that is what Jesus did. Asked later how he knew he was saved, he replied, I was there when it happened. January 19th, 1897, 10 minutes past Central Time, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois. 3 years later, Mel was asked to head a rescue work in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He went on to found a chain of missions throughout the United States to help men like himself who could not escape the slavery of alcoholism. What made the difference? Grace. No wonder it's called Amazing Grace. Brothers and sisters, if you're listening today and you're a child of God, it was only the grace of God that changed you. My friend, if you are listening today and you've never come to Jesus Christ for salvation, the scripture says that each and every one of us apart from Christ is a slave. This man I read to you of, he was a slave to alcoholism. But in the book of Romans it says that we're all slaves to unrighteousness. We're slaves to sin in some way, shape, or form. Whatever that way, shape, or form would take. Be it sexual lust, be it gossip, be it murder, be it materialism, be it atheism, be it whatever. You fill in the blank. But we are all slaves to something. And we all need to be saved from that slavery. The scripture says that you are a slave of unrighteousness and that you need to become a slave of righteousness. Romans 6 tells us this. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of the flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. You were a slave of unrighteousness. You became a child of God. Now you're a slave of righteousness. If you've never come to Christ, the scripture says that you are a slave of unrighteousness, be it whatever sin that would be. But the good news is this. Even though you would be a slave to unrighteousness. In our text, in Samuel, David discovers that one of Jonathan's sons is still living. He also hears the news that this man is crippled. Yet the response of grace is not to ask what kind of man is he, or even how bad is he crippled. Grace does not concern itself with the man's background, his surroundings, his abilities, his appearance, his future potential. The response of grace is to simply ask, where is he? Where is she? Where is he? As soon as David hears where this man is, he sends his servants to go get him, to go get her. Grace says, I'm not concerned about your condition. I just want you, just the way that you are. That's amazing grace. Grace reaches out to the undeserving and brings them into the throne room of grace and mercy. You who were dead in your sins and trespasses. You who are slave to whatever, you fill in the blank. Everybody's a slave to somebody. You're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to Almighty God. You're a slave to somebody or something. And grace comes and gets you wherever you are. So that you can be shown kindness. You can be shown grace because of Christ. You can experience the grace of God because of Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them because of Christ. Let me close with this text to really bring out the heart of the matter of what David is doing with Mephibosheth. I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 to the end. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself, notice, through Jesus Christ, the kindness of God because of another. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Even as David showed kindness to Mephibosheth because of the actions of another, David blessed Mephibosheth because of the covenant that he had made with Jonathan, Mephibosheth's ancestor. The blessings of God on you because of another. That's amazing grace, my friend. If you've never come to God for salvation, the door is wide open today. Whosoever will comes. Whosoever would drink, let him come. What does it say in Revelation 22, verse 17? And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And brother and sister listening today, being a child of God, what should our response be to the amazing grace of God?